from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
1 o'clock on Sports Radio 90. The game from the Northern Kia Studios on this Saturday afternoon. John Fricke with you tonight. Atlanta United Soccer live right here on your home of the Five Stripes. Five Stripes signed Pedro Almodor, and Almodor is one of the first of the new players that they're going to be bringing in. They got some money now after selling some of their players, so they have a lot of cash to move with, and we'll see what Garth Lagerwey does with the end of the season here. It's not over yet for Atlanta United. I mean, they're still kind of in the playoff hunt. They have the League's Cup coming up tonight. Columbus Crew at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. 6:30 pregame with Abe and Garrett, 7:30 kick with Mike and Jason on your home at the Five Stripes Sports Radio 99 The Game. Now, the sun's out here at the Northern Kia Studios, but I'm well north of Marietta, so I don't know what it's doing down at the ballpark here. It may be a little bit dodgy. Hopefully, the Braves can get the doubleheader in today against the St. Louis Cardinals. They're getting ready for game number one and then game two tonight after the rainout yesterday. Braves did get good news in the standings department with both the Phillies, who got beat in a walk-off by the Pirates yesterday, and the Mets both losing. So they'll begin the day 8 back of the Phillies and 4.5 ahead of the Mets in the race for the final wild card spot in the National League. Also keeping our eyes on the British Open. We've been talking today about the Braves. They have 10 days until the trade deadline. It's 4 p.m. on July the 30th. What moves will they make? Will they go after an outfielder? Will they go after another starting pitcher? Alex Anthopoulos will do something here, and we'll see how they handle this over the next 10 days. Also talking about the Falcons. The Falcons camp opens on Thursday. Again, a reminder that no fans are allowed at Flowery Branch because of all the construction this year. Two open practices, one a week from tonight at Second Year High, and then August 2nd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll be talking about those as we lead you to those open practices. But we will have 92.9 The Game. We'll be wall-to-wall from Flowery, in and around Flowery Branch, for the players, the coaches, the media members, everybody that's going to be there, and their own eyeballs, covering the team in practice, posting on our Facebook page, posting on our website, certainly posting on individual Twitters and X accounts, all over the place, all the videos and stories and interviews that you need to see, complete coverage on the radio and on social media from 92.9 The Game of Atlanta Falcons training camp. And if you are a Falcons fan, as I am pretty much almost lifelong anymore, my 51st year, I think. I think 51st year of being a Falcon fan, if I'm not wrong. Anyway, if you're a lifelong Falcons fan, this is the place to be here for all your Falcons coverage, and it begins in earnest when the players start to report. Rookies and veterans this year both report on Thursday to Flowery Branch, and here we go here. So we're talking about the Braves at 404-726-0929. We're also talking about, if you want to talk about the Falcons, big Falcons show tomorrow, by the way. If you want to talk about the Falcons, we can. If you want to talk about the SEC, I just gave you the media's take on the preseason media poll here. I've got some hot takes I'm about to run down here. And if you want to talk a little, again, I'm looking for somebody who's played the new college football EA 25 game. I know a lot of you aren't there, played it, because 2.2 million people bought it 3 days ago and got the early release. So I'm just kind of curious what you're seeing on it, what's you know, enticing you. I'm hearing stories about, you know, record-smashing sales for EA Sports and how much money they're going to make. And 11,000 players got paid because of this. 11,000 players got paid. Getting checks. Good for them. And then there's Tiger, who came out after his round yesterday at Royal Troon and said, I don't want to just be a ceremonial player. And I got to say, watching him play yesterday with the polite applause from the fans who, you know, there's fans there watching the British Open, and he's walking up to a green and, you know, nowhere in shouting distance of making the cut, ended up 14 over. And there's the polite applause. And there are fans there who are seeing Tiger Woods to see Tiger Woods, but they're not seeing Tiger Woods. They're seeing Tiger Woods, but they're not seeing that Tiger Woods, right? Still, it's something to be able to say, hey, I saw Tiger, I took a picture, I mean, whatever you did, I don't think there's cameras there, but, you know, I was able to see Tiger Woods. I took my in-laws to Augusta for a practice round, oh, I don't know, what was that, 7, 8 years ago? Anyway, and we did all the things you have to do, you know? I mean, do all the things you do with the in-laws. My wife Tammy and I took her parents, and we're doing all the things, walking the course, go down to Amen Corner, watch the players come through, go to 15 and 16, watch them skip it in a practice round. And as we're leaving, I said, hey, let's go to number 5, because I'm looking on the board, and I said, I think Tiger's coming up here, and they wanted to see Tiger. So we watched him walk up the fairway at 5 and putt on number 5. That's all he did, okay? But they got to see Tiger Woods. I took my parents to the Tour Championship the next year at Eastlake, and we were at the tee box there at number 1, and they got to see all the players, and they got to see Tiger Woods tee off. I mean, that's all they saw, but they got to see Tiger. And so there's something about being able to witness that, because he's so iconic. And to be able to see, I saw him in person. How cool is that? But now it's becoming a ceremonial Tiger. It wasn't like, hey, I saw him win and chip in on 16 at Augusta in one of the 2 or 3 greatest shots in the history of golf. I saw him hobble up in the U.S. Open on a bad leg and beat Rocco Mediate for the U.S. Open title. Or I saw him, you know, when he first burst on the scene and was 21 under with his C game to win his first green jacket. I mean, you don't have any of those moments. You just see, oh, you might as well just be standing there signing autographs. You know, that's the problem. And I'm beginning to wonder whether or not he should, in fact, shut it down. 404-726-0929 if you want to be part of the program here and talk a little college football, if you want to talk about the Braves, or you want to talk a little bit about Tiger. Again, a lot tomorrow about the Falcons. Let's go to our old buddy Smooth is joining us. Hey, Smooth, what up?
What's going on, John? Appreciate you taking my call, man. I was calling to tell you about the college football game. So,
well, good. I'm finally glad somebody did. All right, so walk me through it. Give me your review of EA Sports College Football 25.
Okay, honestly, the review, graphically, it's beautiful. It's a team graphically, and it's not a Madden clone. Like, everybody was concerned about whether it was going to be a Madden clone. It has its own game, and it has 134 teams. So college football was always different from Madden, because you have more teams, and it's more, every team plays different. So it's not like Madden where you can find one playbook and play with everybody. Every team has the differences that it has in college football. And even though you have some teams that are power teams, you still can get beat by a lesser team, by somebody that knows how to use those players. Graphically, like I said, in the presentation, it has the full presentations of every college team. When they're going out on the field, the bands, the atmosphere, the crowd, it's phenomenal. To be a 10-year wait, it's a really good game, and everybody's excited about it. It's very fast, like college football. So if you have a great offense, just like in real college football, the offense can really blow you out. And on defense, you got to really play defense. But it, I mean, it's a phenomenal game. It's phenomenal. I'm very satisfied.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing some reports, Smooth, that it is addictive, and people are playing it like 15, 16, 18 hours in a day.
Oh, John, I'm on my way home right now to get back on the game. So yeah, it was worth the wait, and just it's great to see. Especially here with us in the South, who are big college football fans, when you see these home environments and how they react, the reaction to different plays and the sidelines. I'm a big detail person. The players on the sidelines, the celebrations when your defense gets the interceptions, the celebrations on offense, touchdown celebrations. I see why it took them 2 years to get it right, because they wanted to make sure they put out a great product. So it's really excellent, man. It's a great comeback for them. That's why it's blowing up.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Smooth. Thank you for the review. Again, 2.2 million people paid extra to get it early, an early release of it. I can't even begin, Eric, to understand or to wrap my brain around the millions of lines of code that had to be written for this game. I can't even begin to imagine it, to put individual players and how many people must have worked on this game. I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, that's an industry that, you know, employs a lot of people. And think about it like this. Now that 25 is out, they're already starting on 26, you know.
Oh, so, I know they are.
You
know, right?
And they'll do their survey groups to see the things that they like and don't like and what things that, you know, they say, oh, this is what we got to change. This is what we got to update. You know, it's a process year long. It's kind of like, remember when you bring your guy on who does his college football magazine, you know, he's already working on next year, right? That's how they do it.
Right. Yep. Yeah, my daughter sent me this kind of open for Kennesaw State's, team, because she's not playing the game. But, you know, there was this, you know, animation, well, just a little clip from the game about Kennesaw State. And it made me think, how much is one dude, I'd be really curious to know, how much, like, somebody on Kennesaw State makes, what kind of a check you get? I mean, is it like 25 bucks or something? I mean, is it anything? Is it a lot? I have no idea. I just was curious, you know, does it matter how many times your team gets played? Is it a standard amount? I'd be really kind of curious to know how much, because 11,000 players got paid. Let's go to Angelo, who joins John. Welcome to the show, Angelo.
Hey, John. I called last week and shared how I felt about the Braves' defense. I like how you talk about somewhat controversial topics. I'd like to hear your view on it. I got another one for you. My view is I've been in Atlanta my whole life, and I follow the sports. I don't follow the Hawks too much, but a little bit to have an opinion. And my opinion is, I want to hang up, and I want to hear you reflect on it, because I get some more inside information that you know that I don't, and that is, what's the deal with this Trae Young guy? I mean, why are we holding on to him? Why aren't we trading him? I hear so many views on it, and I get frustrated because, you know, yeah, he's a good player and all, but the Hawks aren't doing that well. I understand they just drafted a good player and all, but would you give me some insight? I'm going to hang up on Trae Young, and what's the deal there, if you will?
Well, the deal is he's the second greatest player in franchise history, behind only Dominique. The deal is he went into New York when they were chanting blank Trae Young and spitting on him, beat the Knicks, and then bowed in the middle of center court at Madison Square Garden, for which is one of the most iconic moments in Atlanta sports history. It's one of the 10 greatest moments. Maybe the most iconic moment in Atlanta Hawks history. It's worthy of a statue, that bow. And when he bowed, I went, okay, that's my guy forever. The other part of this is, this team can win with Trae. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals with Trae. They went to Game 6 against the Bucks with Trae, and we know about him stepping on the official's ankle here. You just got to – the whole DeJounte thing didn't work. It's going to be fascinating to me to see Quinn Snyder unleash Trae. Here's a player that everybody wants to point about his deficiencies. Let's talk about his positives, which outweigh his negatives by a mile and a half. He is fourth all-time in the history of the NBA in assists per game. Fourth all-time in the history of the NBA in assists per game. Oh, he's a selfish player. Fourth all-time in the history of the NBA in assists per game. Do I need to say it again? If you unleash Logo Trey, bring back Logo Trey, let Trey become the show, I think he's going to blossom. With Reese Shea, I asked Steve Coonan if Reese Shea was going to play the two or the three. He says he's probably going to play the three, and that puts Jalen at the four. Who's going to be the two? I don't know if it would be by committee. Maybe Bogey starts at the two. You put Bogey at the two the way he can shoot, with Trey the way he can shoot, with Reese Shea the way he can shoot, with Jalen, suddenly you might have a little something-something that could be fun to watch. Now, could they trade him? Sure, of course they could trade him. And reset the franchise? Yeah. Will I be upset? Not really, really. I mean, only because if you're going to reset the franchise, then damn it, do it. But don't half-ass it. That's all I've ever said. Don't half-ass a reset. Either go all in on the reset or go all in and win an NBA championship. But don't half-ass it. And if they kind of work through this year kind of half-assing it, as long as it's a setup for future years, look, you can't keep Trey for this year and then trade him at the end of this year because it didn't work. Because now you're putting the reset back a year. So you're all in on Trey this year, fine. Then now you're all in on Trey for the following season, okay? And then you're also going into free agency to try and make something happen. All right, I mentioned I didn't get to it. I promise I will right after this break. CBS has some SEC hot takes that I'm going to read to you, and we can discuss those. I'll bounce them off Eric, and if you want to jump in here and tell me what you think of the hot takes from CBS, we'll do that next on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Tomorrow from 10 to 2, again, a lot of Falcons talk here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. You want to be part of the program, you know the number, 404-726-09 tonight. So we've been talking about, you know, King of the Countdown here, in addition to being Keeper of the Kool-Aid and Driver of the Bandwagon, King of the Countdown, we are, you know, looking at 5 days till the Falcons report. We are looking at, you know, now, you know, running up on 5 days to the start of the Olympics. Now, you're going to hear the Olympics, you know, being the 26th when they have the whole Spielberg float down the River Seine, you know, opening ceremonies. But it really starts on the 24th because competitions start. Again, it's not like they light the torch and they'll let the games begin and then competitions start. The competitions start 2 days before then because they got to move teams around and they have to have layoffs and recovery for things like soccer, for example. And so they'll actually start on the 24th, which is this Thursday, same day the Falcons report. All that's coming here. We are just knocking on the door here, 12 days away from the Hall of Fame game. We're 12 days away from Houston and Chicago in the Hall of Fame game and the first NFL preseason game. We're only 20 days away from the Falcons and Miami, and we are 5 weeks today. 5 weeks today, Florida State, Georgia Tech. In the first college football game of the year in Ireland is in 5 weeks, and you can bet that, you know, down in the flats today, they're like, you know, I mean, the work has started, camp's about to open up, I mean, all the things have been taking place, and 5 weeks away, you're starting to go into game mode. I mean, you're really starting to go into game mode and getting ready for the game because, you know, this is going to come faster than you can ever imagine here. 404-726-0929. So the SEC media days are done. Again, the important thing in the Big Ten media days isn't so much about USC and UCLA and Oregon and Washington being part of the conference. That'll be a discussion. You know, the new coaches, Jim Harbaugh not being there, for example, will be a discussion point. The real important thing to keep your eyes on and to really kind of lock in on when you're is the and watch or at least read about is Tony Petitti's address to open it up because we want to I want to match his address to Greg Sankey's because that will tell us a little bit as we get, you know, in other words, what the Big Ten is saying is matching what the SEC has already said because those two make no mistake, those two run college football, all right? And Sankey and Petitti are the two most powerful men in all of college sports. And if they match here, we'll start to get a little bit of an idea of where we might be headed in the not-too-distant future. For example, 12-team playoff this year, I'll guarantee you it's 2024. No later than 2027, we'll have a 16-team playoff. Okay, you understand we're going to expand the playoff. Why? Television money, that's why. And so, and I would imagine that we'll get to Super Conference. The dam, the leak, the dam that breaks to get us to Super Conference that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to run is Florida State and Clemson and their divorce from the ACC. And don't kid yourself, all the other ACC teams are like Miami and North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Virginia are like, go, is to break the grant of rights. And that's going into court. And there are lawsuits starting to fly. And so if they can break the grant of rights, then it's done. Okay? Done. And the ACC will go dodo like the Pac-12 did. It can reform in some form or fashion like the Pac-12 will with some other teams from other leagues. But Florida State will be gone. Clemson will be gone. North Carolina, they'll all be gone. And they'll be joining, you know, the SEC. Oh, and because Greg Sankey's like, we're happy at 16. All this about the SEC staying at 16 is just, it's just for the purposes of you to understand that that's what they have to say because they can't tamper. That's all. It's a legal thing. Of course they're going to expand because they're going to merge. The SEC and the Big Ten are going to merge. Boys and girls, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to merge. That's why what Tony Petitti says is important because you're going to hear him match up his comments. We got Greg Sankey said this, and Tony Petitti will say something along because they're discussing a merger right now. I hope you know that they are having active discussions in a merger between the SEC and the Big Ten. Of course they are. Because they're going to create a new thing called Super Conference or whatever they end up calling it with however many teams. The question is how many teams? And then how do you resplit into divisions? I'm trying to tell you this whole thing about Texas and Oklahoma playing in the same conference as Georgia is only temporary. Same with USC and UCLA, Oregon and Washington in the same conference with Maryland and Rutgers. It's just temporary. They're going to split into like 10-team divisions. You're actually, I think, really like what it's going to look like when it's all said and done. So at the SEC Media Days, media is all there. Nobody else is there. By the way, the reviews on Dallas were... Yeah, this is what you get for taking it to Texas. Nobody was there but the media. They said it was like Deadsville, okay? Because it's going to be Deadsville. Nobody in Dallas cares about the SEC. In Dallas, they couldn't care less about the SEC. They don't. The SEC, Dallas does not a whit care about the SEC. Okay? Metroplex doesn't care. Metroplex, Cowboys, okay? And that's pretty much it. Yeah, there's a basketball team with some dude on it. There's a hockey team with some dude on it. There's a baseball team that won the World Series. Yeah, yippee for them. All they care about is the Cowboys, okay? How do you know that, John? I don't know. I spent a good chunk of the last 40 years in my life in Dallas. Got married there with my beautiful bride. My mom has lived there for 45 years. I listened to, almost took a job once at the Ticket in Dallas. It's the Cowboys all the time. Nonstop. Never, you know, it's what they care about. So they're there, and the media. CBS writes these hot takes. Eric Slaughter.
Talk to
me. I want to give you half a dozen CBS hot takes, and you tell me if how hot takey they are, or if they're close to being accurate, or whatnot. Right?
All right, let's do it.
I've got six. Georgia hot take. Georgia doesn't miss Brock Bowers too much.
Oh. I think that's going to be that's a hot take because they're. I mean, you're talking about the guy who was the biggest part of the offense last year, so he's going to be missed. I mean, the Bulldogs are still the number one team in the country, but he's going to be thoroughly missed.
Yeah, I don't think they miss him at all.
Really? How? Your wide receiver
next
core.
Up.
Your wide receiver. Yeah, but your wide receiver core is
next up.
Is mostly portal guys.
Next up.
All right, John. They're gonna realize how important he was to the offense, but we'll be good. But
next up,
hot take number one. Keep going.
Well, Nebraska won two national titles with Tommy Frazier at quarterback, and then won one with Scott Frost at quarterback. Next up, Alabama. Positive early returns on Kalen DeBoer are not premature. The positive early returns on Kalen DeBoer are not premature. In other words. Hey.
He's a good coach.
He got something.
Yeah, there's no doubting he's a good coach. They got a great choice to replace Nick Saban, and they're going to keep right on going. Yeah, I agree 100%.
And see how interesting it is. I'm not sold. Kalen DeBoer walks out of his office, and the guy that's got a statue who won't leave is in the office next door. Those two start walking down the hall today, okay? There are four players on this year's team that are walking up the hall toward Kalen DeBoer and the statue man. All four raise their hands and say, hey, coach, here's my question. Who are they talking to, Eric?
Both of them. They respect both of them. Yeah, they respect both of them. They do. Come on.
Not so sure.
They respect both of them.
I think they're talking to statue man.
No.
They're
paying homage to the great, to the GOAT, and they're saying – the new sheriff's in town. That's how you got to do it.
No, they didn't say coach is. They said, hey, coach. Who do they refer to as coach?
Because no one says, hey, coach.
I'm just telling you.
No one says, hey, coaches. Hey, coaches. No one says that. Hey, coach. They both smile and look back
at him. I think it's like, hey, coach and new guy.
Sheriff in
Auburn,
town.
Yeah, I'm just saying. No, he ain't a sheriff. He's deputy. He's deputy DeBoer. Auburn. Here's their hot take.
Okay.
Peyton Thorne is not Auburn's starting quarterback by year's end.
I don't even know who Peyton Thorne is. I couldn't tell you five members of the Auburn Tigers program, so you got to tell me.
Well, there are times where quarterbacks transfer, and it works for them. Like when Bo Nix was at Auburn, even though his dad was a star there, it didn't really work for him. He goes to Oregon and becomes Bo Nix, right? And there are times where quarterbacks transfer, and it kind of goes backwards on them a little bit, and it doesn't work out. Like Jeff Sims. There are times for quarterbacks who transfer who are just proved to be themselves. When Peyton Thorne was at Michigan State, I went, okay, well, whatever. And then he transferred to Auburn. I went, really? Peyton Thorne? You're going to put that guy? I mean, he was all right. No, I don't know. Maybe. Guess what? He's Peyton Thorne. Yeah, no, this is not a hot take. Matter of fact, Walker White is the heir apparent, and I think that's who Hugh Freeze is leaning on. I know he's a frosh. I get it. But I think that Walker White is going to get a shot to take over this team because Peyton Thorne is a placeholder. Oklahoma, their hot take. Sooners finish season unranked.
Wow. I know Dylan Gabriel's in Oregon now, but I think they should still be a quality team. I disagree. Disagree thoroughly.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma's 8-4 at best.
Yeah. But that's, is that a, ooh. Can that keep them in
maybe
the top 25?
Maybe 7-5.
Can that keep them in
I
the top?
I think they could be unranked.
Wow. I'm writing this
well,
one down.
I mean, the media.
Writing this one
see,
down.
Let's do this. Media said UGA 1, Texas 2, Alabama 3, Ole Miss 4, LSU 5, Missouri 6, Tennessee 7. I just did the top seven. Have I said Oklahoma yet?
No. Welcome to the SEC. Welcome to the SEC.
Yeah,
rookies.
Welcome to the SEC. Right. Tennessee. Here's their hot take.
Got it.
Vols are SEC's most underrated team.
No. Ole Miss Rebels.
And I think their most underrated team is LSU.
Ole Miss Rebels.
I don't think Tennessee or Ole Miss are a threat to win at all. I think LSU is a threat to be standing here in Atlanta as champion.
No, I guess, like I said, there's no more East and West, but when Ole Miss plays LSU, the winner of that team has a chance to finish second. Has a chance to finish second.
I will say the Vols are an interesting team here. They picked them seventh. To me, it can kind of go either way for Tennessee this year. I mean, I think, look, they have the best player in the conference, okay?
Milrow.
I mean, James Pierce Jr. might be the number one pick in the NFL draft.
I got you, okay. Oh, the defense tackle.
No, the defensive end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Defensive end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, James Pierce Jr.
Yep.
But it all hinges on how good Nico is. If Nico is that quarterback, if he's that five-star in Southern California, I mean, between Squirrel White and a healthy Brew McCoy, Tennessee's going to score, okay? We understand that. I mean, they're going to score. And if they get a couple of wins early, I will say this. I was really ambivalent or kind of going, I don't know about this, with Josh Heupel going from UCF to Tennessee. I went, really, Josh Heupel? He's done a better job at Tennessee than I originally anticipated.
He's done a better job than most people anticipated. Most people would say, I didn't know about that either.
Here's another hot take. Florida, Billy Napier keeps his job. It's his third season with the Gators. They owe him $26 million after this year. He signed a top 10 recruiting class, including five-star quarterback DJ Lagwe, and he has strong support from the AD, Scott Strickland. Therefore, Billy Napier keeps his job. Do you believe that? You buying that?
Yes. Well, first off, it's not the money. They're not worried about the money. They can write that check and keep right on moving. The relationship with the AD cannot be overlooked. That's a huge part of it because they're not going to fire the AD. The AD is cemented, and if he likes the coach, he'll give him more chances than another AD would. So I do think he survives this year. 6-6, 7-5 probably will be their, top of the line, but I think he makes it another season.
And I think he has to be above 500, especially against that schedule, which we talked about earlier, which is so brutal. But if he's above 500, I can almost see him with this recruiting class getting one more year.
Absolutely.
And I know that some people are saying, you got to fire him. You also have to think, okay, when you want to fire somebody, who are you going to replace him with? Because make no mistake, I have a hot take. Here's the final hot take, and it's mine, and it's Arkansas. And I think I'm right. Okay, I'm not saying this to be Stephen A. or Skip Bayless or Shannon, or anybody out there who says crap just to say crap. I'm telling you, I believe this in my heart. In Northwest Arkansas, there are three money players: Jerry Jones, Walmart Money, because of all the Waltons, and Tyson Foods. The chicken people, the superstore people, and Jerry Jones. Yakata. All right, so they bought John Calipari, right? At the end of this season, Sam Pittman's going to get fired. Don't feel bad for Sam. Bobby Petrino's going to get fired. Yay.
But Pittman is the best offensive line coach in the country. He'll find a job.
Right. Don't feel sorry for Sam. He's going to get offers from NFL teams and college teams immediately all over the place. He gets fired, and immediately everybody raises their hands to bring Sam Pittman in. So he's going to be fine. So don't worry about him. Here's the hot take. Sam Pittman gets fired. Yes, that's going to happen because they're going to go like 4-8. They just don't have the talent. The money is going to buy a new coach. If you've ever wondered where Urban Meyer is going, Urban Meyer will be the new coach at Arkansas.
John Fricke said it on July 20th. Wow.
Then they bought Calipari for the basketball team. That's their belief that everything revolves around the head coach, and they will pay Urban Meyer the richest salary in the history of college football to go to Arkansas.
Okay. Hey. Not Little Rock? Well, actually, are they in Little Rock? I can't remember. Where?
No, Fayetteville.
They're in Fayetteville. All right.
Northwest Arkansas.
That's a good place to go. Let's do it.
Yeah. So, they already did that with Calipari for a reason.
And he has brought transfer after transfer into that program already.
And Urban Meyer shows up, and Urban Meyer will be, hire, Urban may turn around and say, Sam, everybody likes you here. You want to stay and be the offensive line coach? I'll pay you more than anybody else.
And he'll automatically say,
if everybody likes it, I'll stay. Yeah. I mean, it's really kind of not out of the question. Yeah. Sam could say, okay, fine.
Yeah. And now he'll have the best O-line coach in the country, just like that.
Sports Radio 92 on the game tonight. Atlanta United, Columbus Crew. Our pregame begins at 6:30 with Abe and Garrett. And the coverage of this game, 7:30 kickoff, Mike and Jason live on your home of the Five Stripes, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios on this Saturday. Chance for one last call, and I've got a question into me via a text from a friend of mine. Steve is going to be joining us here and weighing in. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show.
Yes, like you said earlier about Matt Olson, way to go ham today. And you really, you tote the rock. You know, talking about the Braves, if the Braves want to compete with the Dodgers, they have nothing to offer in a trade. Any team that's willing to part with a player, say the Marlins, you're going to have four or five teams in front of the Braves with more to offer. If the Braves want to compete, they got to open up that checkbook. Why are they already talk about they're not signing Max Fried?
Well, one of the things that I think we're running up against, Steve, is that the team's going to be sold. We are in the process of Liberty selling the team. I think when they did the stock offering here, I think that's where we're headed with this. And so we'll have to see how this kind of affects things moving forward. Hopefully, you know, if their new ownership group comes in, then we can get something that will be willing to be a little bit more competitive. But the Dodgers have spent $1 billion, and for that they have a COVID championship. And so there's some people going, you know, the Dodgers spent $1 billion and they have a COVID championship. The Angels spent how many, almost $1 billion, and they have nothing to show for it. So money in and of itself isn't always, you know, the defining factor. We all understand that, but it doesn't mean you don't have to spend some. You do.
Well, we'll see what happens in the postseason when those Dodgers, when those games mean something, you're going to see why they spent that money. And the Braves,
well,
if they want to be
they
cheap,
flamed out
they're going to start falling behind.
Dodge, I don't know. Did, you know, Braves beat them in 21, and they flamed out the last 2 years, too. So, I mean, that's not,
this is
that's
a
not
different, this
assign
is a different
greatness
team
to the Dodgers. The Dodgers, you know, the only reason they were, and let's not forget that the Braves were up on them 3-1 in COVID and should have beaten them in the NLCS. So, and that's the only year
this is
that
a different team.
So.
This is a different Dodgers team. This is a billion-dollar team.
Maybe. Right. But if they don't get it done, then they will be a massive, massive fail, correct?
Well, if you have to spend the money. If you want to have a chance, you got to spend the money. That's it.
I do.
All right.
Yeah,
thank
I
you.
Do appreciate it. Yeah, thanks, Steve. I mean, you have to spend some money, but not like the Yankees have won a whole lot of World Series lately, have they? Did I miss, Eric, all the Yankees titles lately? Did I miss those?
Yeah, 09, 11, 14, 17, 19.
How about the Mets?
No.
How about the Mets? Did I miss all those titles that the Mets have won?
69, 71, no,
86.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, it's been a while. It's
so
a
I
while.
Got this I got this note from somebody who was saying, you know, why are you giving CBS a hard time here? And yes, in fact, I used to work for CBS, but then I worked for everybody because everybody at the station who was there back then used to work. We were owned by CBS prior to Odyssey buying us. When I say, and I say this, CBS. Look, CBS, all right, let me stop for a second. Well, this is one of the reasons I don't game. I read an awful lot. Pre-cell phone, pre-even internet, I love when my daughter says, you know, Dad, you know, and she's 28. She'll say something like, you know, something about cell phones. I'm like, honey, you're like pre-cell phone, okay? I mean, you were born in 96. I don't know anybody that had a cell phone in 96, okay? You know, so you were born before cell phones. Before all that kind of came into our world here, and the internet didn't really come into our world in a big way until the early 2000s, right? And so it's still relatively young. Until then, when I was working for the first, you know, 20, 25 years of my career, we relied on newspapers, and I would read three or four a day. And that's how we got our information and all our background material, because there was the wires and the newspapers. Now, and of course, that all became the internet. And in the internet era, I read pretty much on a daily basis I've got bookmarks for a whole bunch of websites that I read every day. Now, when it comes to navigating, ESPN, when you want stuff like scores and schedules and standings and statistics, ESPN, one of the great things about their site is the easiest to navigate to find out all that kind of numerical and, you know, all that information. You can find it. CBS is more difficult to navigate in that regard. So ESPN's better than CBS, and I think that the top two in terms of trying to find information. But CBS is a better website in terms of just ESPN's writers are, I just don't think they're all that great, you know. CBS's writers are better. I think CBS's editors are better. ESPN's editorial stance, they put a lot of stuff up and blow up a lot of stuff I couldn't care less about. And CBS focuses in on the bigger stuff. It's just better editorially, I think, than ESPN. And so if I was running a site, it would look more like CBS than it does like ESPN. And they do a really good job of engagement writing in terms of, and I'll read something tomorrow about, you know, in terms of lists and opinions and things of that nature, ESPN tends to write news stories and their opinion pages tend to be not so hot, in my opinion. I think the ESPN does a really great job in navigation of their website. And I think they do a tremendous job in social media engagement, where I think they're by far number one. But CBS just has a better kind of group of writers. Now, having said that, those writers hate you. Okay, they hate you. You just have to go to CBS and understand they hate you. There are a bunch of New York clowns who hate you. Now, they do really good work, but they hate you. And they're jaded and they're shaded. They hate the Braves with a roaring passion. They hate the Hawks. They hate the Falcons. They hate the South. They're a bunch of New York people. They all come out of certain schools. Columbia, Cornell, Ithaca College. I know these people. They come out of BC. That's who they are. Syracuse. That's who they are. Okay. How do I know this? I worked with them, okay? That's who they are, all right? So they don't like us down here. So everything is shaded with the color of bias. So when they do lists, and I'll read one of them tomorrow that's like, oh, my God, really? It's shaded with the color of bias. But CBS is still a good – so. But that's why I call it CBS, because it's not – it's like, can CBS hire me to write for them? So that I can do something that's like legit here. But their topics are good. The site is good. It's a fun site to read. It's an enjoyable site. But I read, you know, AJC every day, Marietta Daily Journal, CBS, ESPN, Yahoo, I think, does a really good job. The MSN Sports as an aggregator is really good. They pull from lots of blogs and things like that, so you'll find some interesting things there, though you have to really take MSN with a real grain of salt because they get into the heavy end of the wire. Because there's like tiers of blogs, like there's tiers of sites. Like, for example, there's a big children's sports site. I don't know if you've ever read the children's sports site, and it's called Bleacher Report. I don't know if you've ever read that. It's for kids. Whew.
Well, Oren has a kid, so I hope he does, but I've read it too.
Yeah, Bleacher Report is just, that thing needs to be scrapped and overhauled. I mean, the writers they have on there are like, you 12? Where did you come up with that? I would love to run Bleacher Report, because I would hire real people, and I would totally.
Well, yeah, most of Bleacher Report's journalists are fresh out of college.
It's just poorly written and poorly thought through and has no analytical background. It's just not. It should be so much more. It was a blog that was purchased as the backbone of, you know, for CNN, and me being a CNN sports guy, it's hard for me to criticize CNN, but, you know, CNN sports, that is. You can criticize CNN network all you want, don't care. But CNN sports, because I'm a legacy guy, and I was a day one guy, but Bleacher Report is not well done. And it was one of the things I was going to change when I was up to run CNN Sport. I was going to revamp Bleacher Report. And I finished second twice to people that I like, the girl that's running it now, lady that's running it now. She's never been hired over me, but that's another story. SB Nation does a really good job. USA Today does a pretty good job, too. I mean, for example, here's some of the websites I read every day. House of the Hank Built, Peachtree Hoops, Falcons Wire, Falcoholic, Soccer Down Here, Saturday Down South if you're an SEC fan, Off Tackle Empire if you're a Big Ten fan, I read Clutch, I go to Pro Football Talk, College Football News, I go to, all these websites, and Pro Football Focus and more, every day. Okay, I read Sagarin's going to be out because he's retiring. I still read KenPom. I still read, Pete Futak and I are friends. I read a lot of Pete Futak stuff because I think he does a really good job. Mike Florio makes a lot of people mad, but at least I think he has, if he doesn't have insight, at least he has stuff. Peter King used to, of course, Peter King's retired now. It used to be mandatory to read Monday Morning Quarterback. Extra Mustard at SI was a mandatory thing for a long time. It needs to be kind of updated a little bit. TMZ Sports has some interesting things, little sidebar stuff that I like to follow. And again, I read an awful, awful lot, but I am a discerning reader based on 45 years in the business and knowing from what, who I could see by the writer and by the source of who we're talking about here, especially when you get into the aggregators like SB Nation. Well, SB Nation is not an aggregator. MSN's an aggregator. What I mean by aggregator, by the way, and I encourage you to check out MSN Sports. An aggregator is somebody that takes stories and links, sort of like Drudge, links 100, Drudge is an aggregator. I don't know, whatever happened to that website. Gee. Used to be the most powerful news website in the world, and now look at it. You take stories from and from all over the web and post them up, right? And it's good to have a place to go and get all these different kind of views and thoughts and stuff like that. But SB Nation, I think, Bleacher Report went from a blog to mainstream, and it's kind of gone backwards. SB Nation continues to grow. And I've actually been impressed by SB Nation's growth in terms of the quality of the writing and the sites and how they've managed to find a strong football hole. I thought SB Nation, which began sort of as a blog too, was never going to be anything. I think they've done a really good job of establishing themselves. I think USA Today has done a really good job. I'm not really impressed with USA Today's sports section on the web. USA Today, when it first came out in the early 80s, was mandatory reading. The only thing that beat USA Today in terms of sports coverage, because, all right, I'll stop for a second. Back in the day, there were three papers, newspapers, that had the three best sports sections in the world. The number one paper in the world for sports was the Dallas Morning News. Their sports section was phenomenal. The number two paper in the world, talking about local papers, in my opinion, was the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC sports section was phenomenal, and the Boston Globe. Those were the big three. Now, there were others that were really good, like the New York Times sports section was awful beyond words. I mean, it was just disgustingly bad. There were others that were really good. I mean, the Trib in Chicago had a good one. LA Times had a really good one. There were others that had really good sports sections. So I'm not trying to, ace it. The 80s called, and into the mid-90s called the National. That if you never read, if somebody is old enough to remember the National, it was the greatest thing ever written. And it only lasted about 3 years, and it was a shame. Because it was truly great. It was the Athletic times 1,000. And I'm disappointed because the Athletic, in and of itself, I don't know if they overextended. I don't know. I know the Times bought them, but it never became, and I don't think it ever will become, what it was intended to become, which was the killer sports site. And I was really hopeful for it. I quit buying it because it's not really even worth it anymore. Well, it's not worth it anymore, which is a shame. Anyway, that just answers that question. CBS is frustrating, and I'll read one of the things tomorrow as to why, because their writers, they've got to get out of this New York-centric thing. They would do that, CBS would become the dominant sports site in the country, in my opinion. Spread it out. Let's hear some other voices. All right, stand by. It is Atlanta United tonight against Columbus Crew. Pregame at 6:30, kick 7:30. My thanks to Noel White, to Eric Slaughter, and especially to all of you. Talk to you tomorrow at 10 on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Sports Radio 90 Time the Game from the Northern Kia Studios on this Saturday. Chance for one last call, and I've got a question into me via a text from a friend of mine. Steve is going to be joining us here and weighing in. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show.
Yes, like you said earlier about Matt Olson, way to go ham today. And you really, you tote the rock. You know, talking about the Braves, if the Braves want to compete with the Dodgers, they have nothing to offer in a trade. Any team that's willing to part with a player, say the Marlins, you're going to have four or five teams in front of the Braves with more to offer. If the Braves want to compete, they got to open up that checkbook. Why are there already talk about they're not signing Max Fried?
Well, one of the things that I think we're running up against, Steve, is that the team's going to be sold. We are in the process of Liberty selling the team. I think when they did the stock offering here, I think that's where we're headed with this. And so we'll have to see how this kind of affects things moving forward. Hopefully, you know, if their new ownership group comes in, then we can get something that will be willing to be a little bit more competitive. But the Dodgers have spent $1 billion, and for that they have a COVID championship. And so there's some people going, you know, the Dodgers spent $1 billion and they have a COVID championship. The Angels spent how many? What? Almost $1 billion and they have nothing to show for it. So money in and of itself isn't always, you know, the dividing factor. We all understand that, but it doesn't mean you don't have to spend some. You do.
Well, we'll see what happens in the postseason when those Dodgers, when those games mean something, you're going to see why they spent that money. And the Braves, they're going to start falling behind.
I don't know. You know, Braves beat them in 21, and they flamed out the last 2 years, too. So, I mean, that's not
a different greatness
to the Dodgers. The Dodgers, you know, the only reason they, and let's not forget that the Braves were up on them 3-1 in COVID and should have beaten them in the NLCS. So, and that's the only year
this is
that
a different team.
So.
This is a different Dodgers team. This is a billion dollar team.
Maybe. Right. But if they don't get it done, then they will be a massive, massive fail, correct?
Well, you have to spend the money. If you want to have a chance, you got to spend the money. That's it.
I do.
All right. Thank you.
I do appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks, Steve. I mean, you have to spend some money, but. Not like the Yankees have won a whole lot of World Series lately, have they? Did I miss, Eric, all the Yankees titles lately? Did I miss those?
Yeah, 09, 11, 14, 17, 19.
How about the Mets?
No.
How about the Mets? Did I miss all those titles that the Mets have won?
69, 71,
86.
No, it's been a while.
I got this note from somebody who was saying, you know, why are you giving CBS a hard time here? And yes, in fact, I used to work for CBS, but then I worked for everybody because everybody at the station who was there back then used to work. We were owned by CBS prior to Odyssey buying us. When I say this, CBS. Look, CBS. All right, let me stop for a second. This is one of the reasons I don't game. I read an awful lot. Pre-cell phone, pre-even internet, I love when my daughter says, you know, Dad, you know, and she's 28. She'll say something like, you know, something about cell phones. I'm like, honey, you're like pre-cell phone, okay? I mean, you were born in 96. I don't know anybody that had a cell phone in 96, okay? You know, so you were born before cell phones. Before all that kind of came into our world here, and the internet didn't really come into our world in a big way until the early 2000s, right? And so it's still relatively young. Until then, when I was working for the first, you know, 20, 25 years of my career, we relied on newspapers. And I would read 3 or 4 a day. And that's how we got our information and all our background material, because there was the wires and the newspapers. And of course, that all became the internet. And in the internet era, I read pretty much on a daily basis I've got bookmarks for a whole bunch of websites that I read every day. Now, when it comes to navigating, ESPN, when you want stuff like scores and schedules and standings and statistics, ESPN, one of the great things about their site is it's easiest to navigate to find out all that kind of numerical and, you know, all that information, you can find it. CBS is more difficult to navigate in that regard. So ESPN's better than CBS, and I think that the top two in terms of trying to find information. But CBS is a better website in terms of just ESPN's writers are, I just don't think they're all that great, you know. CBS's writers are better. I think CBS's editors are better. ESPN's editorial, they put a lot of stuff up and blow up a lot of stuff I couldn't care less about. And CBS focuses in on the bigger stuff. It's just better editorially, I think, than ESPN. And so if I was running a site, it would look more like CBS than it does like ESPN. And they do a really good job of engagement writing in terms of, and I'll read something tomorrow about, you know, in terms of lists and opinions and things of that nature, ESPN tends to write news stories and their opinion pages tend to be not so hot, in my opinion. I think the ESPN does a really great job in navigation of their website, and I think they do a tremendous job in social media engagement, where I think they're by far number one. But CBS just has a better kind of group of writers. Now, having said that, those writers hate you. Okay, they hate you. You just have to go to CBS and understand they hate you. They're a bunch of New York clowns who hate you. Now, they do really good work, but they hate you. And they're jaded and they're shaded. They hate the Braves with a roaring passion. They hate the Hawks. They hate the Falcons. They hate the South. They're a bunch of New York people. They all come out of certain schools. Columbia, Cornell, Ithaca College. I know these people. They come out of BC. That's who they are. Syracuse. That's who they are. Okay. How do I know this? I worked with them, okay? That's who they are, all right? So they don't like us down here. So everything is shaded with the color of bias. So when they do lists, and I'll read one of them tomorrow that's like, oh, my God, really? It's shaded with the color of bias. But CBS is still a good – but that's why I call it CBS, because it's not – it's like, can CBS hire me to write for them? So that I can do something that's like legit here. But their topics are good. The site is good. It's a fun site to read. It's an enjoyable site. But I read, you know, AJC every day, Marietta Daily Journal, CBS, ESPN, Yahoo, I think, does a really good job. The MSN Sports as an aggregator is really good. They pull from lots of blogs and things like that, so you'll find some interesting things there. Though you have to really take MSN with a real grain of salt, because they get into the heavy end of the wild. Because there's like tiers of blogs, like there's tiers of sites. Like, for example, there's a big children's sports site. I don't know if you've ever read the children's sports site, and it's called Bleacher Report. I don't know if you've ever read that. It's for kids. Whew.
Well, Oren has a kid, so I hope he does, but I've read it too.
Yeah, Bleacher Report is just, that thing needs to be scrapped and overhauled. I mean, the writers they have on there are like, you 12? Where did you come up with that? I would love to run Bleacher Report, because I would hire real people, and I would totally.
Well, yeah, most of Bleacher Report's journalists are fresh out of college.
It's just poorly written and poorly thought through and has no analytical background. It's just not. It should be so much more. It was a blog that was purchased as the backbone of, you know, for CNN, and me being a CNN sports guy, it's hard for me to criticize CNN, but, you know, CNN Sports, that is. You can criticize CNN Network all you want, don't care. But CNN Sports, because I'm a legacy guy, and I was a day one guy, but Bleacher Report is not well done. And it was one of the things I was going to change when I was up to run CNN Sport. I was going to revamp Bleacher Report. And I finished second twice to people that I like, the girl that's running it now, lady that's running it now. She's never been hired over me, but that's another story. SB Nation does a really good job. USA Today does a pretty good job, too. I mean, for example, here's some of the websites I read every day. House of the Hank Built, Peachtree Hoops, Falcons Wire, Falcoholic, Soccer Down Here, Saturday Down South if you're an SEC fan, Off Tackle Empire if you're a Big Ten fan, I read Clutch, I go to Pro Football Talk, College Football News, I go to, you know, all these websites and Pro Football Focus and more every day, okay? I read, Sagarin's going to be out because he's retiring. I still read Ken Palm. I still read, Pete Futak and I are friends. I read a lot of Pete Futak's stuff because I think he does a really good job. Mike Florio makes a lot of people mad, but at least I think he has, if he doesn't have insight, at least he has stuff. Peter King used to, of course, Peter King's retired now. It used to be mandatory to read Monday Morning Quarterback. Extra Mustard at SI was a mandatory thing for a long time. It needs to be kind of updated a little bit. TMZ Sports has some interesting things, little sidebar stuff that I like to follow. I read an awful, awful lot, but I am a discerning reader based on 45 years in the business and knowing from what, you know, who I could see by the writer and by the source of who we're talking about here, especially when you get into the aggregators like SB Nation. Well, SB Nation is not an aggregator. MSN's an aggregator. What I mean by aggregator, by the way, and I encourage you to check out MSN Sports. An aggregator is somebody that takes stories and links, you know, sort of like Drudge, Drudge is an aggregator. I don't know whatever happened to that website. Gee. Used to be the most powerful news website in the world, and now look at it. is you take stories from and from all over the web and post them up, right? And it's good to have a place to go and get all these different kind of views and thoughts and stuff like that. But SB Nation, I think, has for Bleacher Report went from a blog to mainstream, and it's kind of gone backwards. SB Nation continues to grow, and I've actually been impressed by SB Nation's growth in terms of the quality of the writing and the sites and how they've managed to find a strong football hole. I thought SB Nation, which began sort of as a blog too, was never going to be anything. I think they've done a really good job of establishing themselves. I think USA Today has done a really good job. I'm not really impressed with USA Today's sports section on the web. USA Today, when it first came out in the early 80s, was mandatory reading. The only thing that beat USA Today in terms of sports coverage, because, all right, I'll stop for a second. Back in the day, there were three papers, newspapers, that had the three best sports sections in the world. The number one paper in the world for sports was the Dallas Morning News. Their sports section was phenomenal. The number two paper in the world, talking about local papers, in my opinion, was the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC sports section was phenomenal, and the Boston Globe. Those were the big three. Now, there were others that were really good, like the New York Times sports section was awful beyond words. I mean, it was just disgustingly bad. There were others that were really good. I mean, the Trib in Chicago had a good one. LA Times had a really good one. There were others that had really good sports sections. So I'm not trying to, you know, ace it. The 80s called, and into the mid-90s called the National. That if you never read, if somebody is old enough to remember the National, it was the greatest thing ever written. And it only lasted about 3 years, and it was a shame. Because it was truly great. It was the Athletic times 1,000. And I'm disappointed because the Athletic in and of itself, I don't know if they overextended. I don't know. I know the Times bought them, but it never became, and I don't think it ever will become, what it was intended to become, which was the killer sports site. And I was really hopeful for it. I quit buying it because it's just, it's not really even worth it anymore. Well, it's not worth it anymore, which is a shame. Anyway, that just answers that question. CBS is frustrating, and I'll read one of the things tomorrow as to why, because their writers, they've got to get out of this New York-centric thing. If they would do that, CBS would become the dominant sports site in the country, in my opinion. Spread it out. Let's hear some other voices. All right, stand by. It is Atlanta United tonight against Columbus Crew. Pregame at 6:30, kick 7:30. And thanks to Noel White, to Eric Slaughter, and especially to all of you. Talk to you tomorrow at 10 on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.